Well, this morning we've got a big day in front of us. We've got to make some big decisions. You may have noticed we've flown through the service to get to this point, so I feel quite free to take an hour and a half. No, I'm joking. You know me. I want to wish you Happy New Year. I know it's a little bit late, but we haven't seen some of you since the New Year. And it's an interesting time, New Year. We've actually all survived the beginning of 2025. That in itself is amazing. And it was interesting to be around people as New Year came and immediately after New Year's Day. And people would come up, people that you didn't know, and they'd say, "Oh, Happy New Year. Hope you have a Happy New Year." And that goes on to with complete strangers as well as those you know. And there are understandable questions that come up around New Year's Day. Did you see the Sydney fireworks? Weren't they fantastic? And then others will say, "Did you see that? Do you know how many millions that cost?" How did you see in the new year? Did you stay up till after New Year? Or did you go to bed early and get the sleep that you needed? Have you made any New Year's resolutions? Oh, that's dangerous. There was one dad who was asked what was his New Year's resolution. And he said to his son, "Well, my New Year's resolution was to make your mum as happy as I can all year." And the son thought, "Well, that's pretty good, Dad." And then he turned to his mother and said, "Mum, what's your New Year's resolution?" She said, "Well, my New Year's resolution is to see that Dad keeps his all year." But thinking about the start of a new year, most of us, although this word happy gets a bit misused, most of us want a happy year. We want a happy new year. A certain football coach who will remain anonymous was thinking about happiness with his football team, and he said to his team manager, "What kind of players are we looking for this year?" The coach said, "Well, there's the kind of player you knock him down and he stays down." And the team manager says, "Well, we don't want him, do we, coach?" And the coach said, no, we don't." "Then there's the kind of player you knock him down, he gets up, and you knock him down again and he stays down." And the team manager looked at him straight-faced and said, "Well, we don't want men like that, do we, coach?" "No, Fred, but there's the fella you knock down, he gets up, you knock him down again, he gets up, knock him down again, and he gets up, and you knock him down again, and he gets up again." And the team manager looked at him and said, "Well, that's the man we want, isn't it, coach?" And the coach said, "Oh, no, we don't want him either. I want you to find the guy who's knocking them all down. That's the guy we want." Happiness is different things to different people. For a football coach, it's to have a team that you can knock down and, well, we won't go too far down that path. And although we wish our fellow believers a happy new year, happiness actually seems to be quite elusive. That shouldn't surprise us. Although all of us are looking for some form of happiness, it doesn't always come. Jesus actually says in John 16, verse 33, the second part of verse 33, he says, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." The Amplified Version expands that a little bit and says, "Tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration." That's sounding more like the New Year's than I know. Jesus is saying that in this new year, 2025, we can expect trouble and sorrow. Now, that's hardly what you'd call a happy new year. Often when we run into troubles and difficulties, trials and distress, we really don't expect them. We sort of, when life gets difficult, say, why is this happening to me? If you're like me, you probably go, well, God, what have I done wrong? And that's a dumb thing to do. Because Jesus reminds us in that passage in John 16, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. The Amplified Bible again fills that out a little bit. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. We need to remember that. We may be going through trials and difficulties, we may be quite unhappy, but that isn't what God wants for us. Jesus makes it very clear, there's no need to go under the pile when that happens. Trust me. If I was to do a JC paraphrase, by the way, for those of you that are visitors, my name is John Curtis and JC are my initials. So I paraphrase the Bible. So when I say that, I would paraphrase that verse this way. Take courage, for I've overcome, already beaten the world that throws these things up at you. Take courage. Jesus gives us hope not to avoid trouble and difficulties, but rather to go through them. That develops character. But this morning I want to take you back to before the life of Jesus, before Jesus began his life in this world, is a better way of saying that. Back to Joshua, whose name is from the same root word that we derive Jesus. Joshua was to be a saviour of his people at the time he took over from Moses. He took over that role of leading the children of Israel after their exit from Egypt. Now, have you ever heard of first-time obedience? No. Oh, good. I can teach you about it. We did some training on how to raise kids. We failed miserably, but we were told children need to be told once and that's it. You don't say, I've told you again and again, stop doing that. No, when you say stop doing that, the child's got to know that you mean first time obedience. The first time you hear it, you abide by it. Now, my dad didn't know any of this when he was raising us, and he would say to me, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, shut the gate to the hen house. Usually that's because the chooks were running all over the block. Now, often we'll say something twice for emphasis. Once is actually enough. Particularly for first-time obedience, which is a good discipline to develop. But we will say something twice to emphasize it. To the teenagers, I want you home by midnight. Got it? Midnight. Second time. That's for emphasis. What time have they got to be home? Oh, I'm glad you're still here. Yes, midnight. Now, God needs only to say it once for it to be important for us. That should be enough. But if he says it twice, it's for emphasis. He wants to say, this is significant. I really want you to take note and act on this. But then if he says it three times, and that's very rare, you might remember there's one occasion where he does. In Isaiah 6, he says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The three times is for strong emphasis. God is so holy, it's beyond our comprehension. So that's, you know, three times. When God says it three times, it's really significant. Our reading this morning from Deuteronomy 31, Well, let me refresh your mind. I'll read it to you again. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to the people of Israel, he said, I'm now 120 years old and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River. But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river just as he promised. Then the Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So he says at once, be strong and courageous. This is particularly for Joshua. Then Moses called for Joshua and all Israel. They watched and said to him, second time, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land the Lord swore to them that he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as grants of land. And then it comes again. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So you see, God says twice, be strong and courageous. And then if we drop down to verse 23, then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words. Guess what they were? Be strong and courageous. You must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. How many times has he said it? Three times. So if he says it three, he really means it. It's important. He's trying to get a point across. Now, it gets more difficult. What about if he says it six times? Can you think of any verse that's repeated six times of what God is saying? Because this is the one. It's three times in Deuteronomy and then three times in Joshua chapter 1. If you can whack that up onto the screen. Now, I'm never game to do this because I always fail with... didn't have a clicker and it worked. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and courageous. Again? Strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in all you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God actually says this six times. So what am I trying to say? He's emphasizing something that's significant, something that's important for us to grasp. Why did he have to do it so many times? Probably because he knows I'm as thick as a brick and I don't usually take it the first time. I have to hear it again and again and again. So six times, be strong. So often we miss the point of what God is saying because we don't follow first-time obedience. We need to hear it again and again. Why? Because we don't really take it in. Oh, we know it's there. We know the words, but it's made no difference to our lives. And that's the point God is making with Joshua. If you be strong and courageous, and this is the sixth time I've told you, get it into your head. And then you will succeed in what I've given you to do. So why do we need this so much? Because we're not only, like I said, I'm as thick as a brick. We're not only a bit slow in the uptake. Sometimes we deliberately choose not to do what God says. And when somebody has the audacity to say to us, yeah, I know you're going through hard times, but trust God. Well, it's all right for you to say you're not going through it. And it's times like that, I think God would like to hit us with a brick, but he doesn't think like me. Aren't we glad of that? No, God spells it out again and again and again to make sure we actually not just understand it, but we understand it enough to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers, to do what God says, to understand that he's saying these things to us so that, now if I put it in a local bit of language, so that we'll have a happy new year. Jesus, as I said, quoting earlier, said the same thing. Expect trouble, difficulties, trials, and so on. But remember this, I've overcome the world. Why would Jesus say that? He's saying, because you can trust in me. This is not how it's going to be all the time. I've been here. I've done that. I've told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I've overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm. I have conquered it for you. That's the Amplified Version. All the Amplified Version does is take the words that are there and give all the different meanings and connotations. And so sometimes it makes it very clear. So for us, we must, to be strong and courageous, we must be able to trust what Jesus says. So what are his instructions? Hang in there. Jesus says in John 15 verse 4, remain in me and I'll remain in you. That's how we're to handle the trials and tribulations and the problems and the difficulties we face in 2025. That's what guarantees us a happy new year. Not that happiness will be, look, some people think happiness is, I'm happy, I'm happier. No, happiness goes much deeper than that. Happiness isn't just a joyous feeling, bubbling. Yeah, look, sometimes we experience that. But in this world, we will have troubles. And we don't expect you to say, oh, Mum died, I'm just so happy. Well, nobody would be that foolish to say a line like that, would they? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I have to go, otherwise the Holy Spirit won't come. And he's come to produce in you what the scripture calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this should be fresh in your mind because I talked about it 2 weeks ago. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Did I miss one? Faithfulness, thank you. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It's not something we do. Oh, well, I'm going to be more loving or more joyful or more peaceful. No, that's you trying. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control your lives, and Paul actually says that a little bit later on in Galatians 6, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit control or guide your lives." And that's when the Holy Spirit starts to produce that fruit in us. I've used the illustration before. A fruit tree doesn't say, "Here I am, a lemon tree, and the family want lemons. I'll grow some lemons and squeeze them out." No, the lemon tree just does that automatically. It's part of what's in there. When the Holy Spirit is living in us and controlling us moment by moment, He produces those sorts of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. No matter what 2025 throws up at us, Jesus promises to give us courage. Take courage. Just before Jesus leaves the earth, he tells his disciples, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We need to remember that as we work our way through 2025. If we want to have a happy new year, that's the key to it. Then we will be successful in what we do. Not that we'll be successful and we'll make lots of money, we'll get the house, the boat, the car, and the overseas trip. But rather, the happiness that we'll have will come from knowing God well. There is a story in Chinese folklore of a great teaching master who was so wise that it was boasted he had the answer, the correct answer, to every question. One day, some boys had a perverse plan to pose a question wherein the master was doomed to answer incorrectly. One of them said, "This is what I'll do. I'll conceal a little bird in my hands and then ask the master, 'What have I in my hands?' If he says a bird, I'll ask him, 'Is the bird living or dead?' If he answers the bird is dead, I'll open my hands and let the bird fly away. And so he'll be shown to answer incorrectly. On the other hand, if he answers that the bird is alive, I'll crush the bird in my hand, and when I open my hands, I'll present a dead bird. Whatever he answers, I'll be able to show that he's made a mistake." Then this spiteful boy went to the master and did just as he'd told his friends he would. He said to the master, "What do I have in my hand, master?" The master looked at him and answered, "You have a bird." "That's right," responded the boy. "Now tell me, is the bird alive or dead?" The master looked at him for what seemed like minutes, and after a long and thoughtful reflection, he said, "The answer, my son, is in your hands." So it is for each of us. As we face a new year with the trials and difficulties that will certainly come, we're faced with a decision. Do we yield to God's plans for our lives? Or do we do it, in the words of Frank Sinatra, my way? So actually, the recipe for a happy 2025 is found in Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Be strong and courageous. Walk close with me, do what I say. And then the happiness we know will be just what God wants. We will know a deep love and joy that isn't that bubbly happiness of a party atmosphere, but we'll know the happiness that comes from knowing we're in the centre of God's will for our lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you're the God who loves us. We thank you that you love and care for us, and you've given us advice that you really want us to take notice of and get into our lives. You want us to be strong and courageous enough to submit to you and allow you to work through the Holy Spirit to make us all that you want us to be. Amen.